Downloaded it. And we're here.
All right. We go.
Oh, this is cool.
Yes.
We have a little thingy that helps the phone stand up right here. That's pretty dope.
It's little things.
Yeah, it is. Hello. Hi. Hey, everybody. We're live. We are live. We are live, live, live. It's Friday. And welcome to another episode of Biohack Your Best Life. My name's Elizabeth.
Billy Carson, a.k.a. 4 Billion Dollars. You know what's so funny today?
Huh?
I went to the barbershop and Franklin was like, four. Make sure you throw up the four.
Everybody, it's a whole thing. Except for when you're doing Illuminati signs. And yeah, oh, what is it? Or light signal signs or something. Yeah.
It's four, guys, or gang symbols.
Oh, yeah, gang.
What sets you claim? No, it's four for one.
Forbidden.
Two, three, four. Four. People are still commenting.
I know. They get kind of crazy about
it. It's just Mason's
Mason. It's a Masonic symbol or something. Yeah. But
it's Freemason symbol. He's giving a secret code. We knew it. We knew he was giving the code.
He's crazy. Yeah, that was, it's
super. Why come he got the code like that?
Why come?
It's for forbidden. Come on, please. That is just a rocket science.
So funny. Hey, you guys, if you missed Billy's podcast last night, he was snapping, like super snapping. Super duper snapping. Yeah. Everyone's talking about it today. Yeah. Make sure you guys check it out. I still need to check it out, actually. Yeah. My girl texted me right after it got finished, like, girl, he just went off. Oh, man.
Hey, there's some people here that were on there. Sheba Jones said she was on there last night.
Oh, man. She heard you snap.
I went in.
Yeah. It was about time, though. You haven't done one of your rants in a while, so yeah. It's about time for that. Yeah.
Watch last night's podcast. You're going to love it. And make sure you share it with some religious folks so they can get a little slap inside the head and a little bit of eye awakening information that will literally make that third eye just crack that crust off of it and start to peel away. They're going to feel it deep inside their skull. And, damn, I think I need to ask more questions all of a sudden. I think I need to research something all of a sudden.
It was so funny because Gabe and I got home from the movie and you were like, man, I'm exhausted. I was like, what happened? You were like, I was yelling and screaming. I was laughing at myself. I was like, wait, what?
Yeah, we had a good time.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. So I'm Biohack Your Best Life today. We're talking about things that you need to do or that you should do, not need to do, because every situation is different, but things that you should do before you get married.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Really important. A lot of people don't consider going over a checklist of things that should be looked at, talked about, communicated about, and acted on long before the actual marriage ever even occurs.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, I think that a lot of people just, okay, so we're in a world or we're in Western society, especially where things are extremely sped up and stimulus. It's like we're full of stimulus and we're stuffed up and everything. We distract ourselves a lot because everybody is really stuffed up with trauma and unresolved things that they don't like to talk about because no one's ever, number one, taught us how to talk about things. No one's ever taught us how to deal with things and to feel better. So we tend to distract ourselves with stimulus.
Yeah.
And so we rush around and we don't even really have conscious time for intentional action and thoughts. And this is, I think, a big reason why people jump into things so quickly, because it's almost like instant gratification culture. It's like, you know, everything happens so quick. And you want everything to come to you so quick that people just jump into things without even really thinking of the outcome, without thinking of the repercussions, without thinking about planning to make sure that this is actually something that you want to do. So,
yeah, exactly. Because one thing about marriage and, you know, the plan is to obviously make it a long lasting relationship. The plan is to be married forever, mm-hmm. obviously. I mean, or why even do it? And obviously, that has been extremely hard for a lot of people, mm-hmm. including myself. So it's, you know, at some point, where do I stop and take a look in the mirror and look at my own self and say, hey, what are you doing wrong? Or what could you do better to fix this situation in the future? So that when, you know, the next time this happens, if it happens again, right, you got to say to yourself, look, I need to be in a better position. I need to understand where in particular did I fail, and what could I have done better to make this a long lasting relationship? What can I bring to a relationship? And so it's a checklist of things that Elizabeth and I have gone through and stuff that we're working on ourselves. Mm-hmm. And this is a really, really important list. And the best thing on the list is the last thing, which we'll get to at the very end of this talk. I think one of the most important things on the list. But this is a powerful, powerful list. So if you are somebody who's considering getting married or even is already married, it's not too late to go over this checklist and start working together with your partner to figure these things out, because it could prevent a potential divorce in the future. Mm-hmm. And if you're not married yet, it could allow you to be in a relationship that could be very, very long lasting.
Right. Good. Well, since we do put ourselves and our stuff out there, we both have had failed relationships and some serious ones. What are some things that you think from your past relationships have caused your relationships to end?
I would say lack of good communication. That's one of the most
important. I think communication is the biggest thing. Yeah.
I mean, communication is like massive. And so communication is a big problem. All, you know, me thinking that the other person understands what's going on inside of my head.
Yeah.
And them thinking that I understand what's going on inside of their head, and neither one of us is right.
Well, yeah, that's always the thing, yeah. Because your perception based on your personal experiences and your life is completely different than my perception from my personal experiences in life. And that's one huge key. I'm glad you brought that up, that a lot of people fail in relationships because we always think that the other person is thinking like how we think. Just because we're in a relationship, you know, does not make the other person know what we're thinking or what we want. That has to be communicated clearly. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's a big problem.
Yeah.
Quality time also is mm-hmm. another area that I lacked in the past. You know, spending quality time. That's something I learned my lesson on. You know, you can get caught up in work, caught up in other things that, you know, for example, I was a coach. I was coaching Team USA basketball. I was coaching, that was Junior Olympics. I was coaching AAU basketball, USSSA basketball. I had started a sports and health program in Western Florida at the YMCA West Broward, helped build that whole facility, helped start sports programs, and was on the board of directors. I mean, so, you know, it just adds up and adds up. Next thing you know, I'm spending all my time in the community.
Right.
And not a lot of time at home.
So, yeah, that's priorities. Yeah. So it's like when you are in a relationship with somebody, you have to understand the other person's priorities. And you could have, let's say, even communicated that to your partner and saying like, hey, my community is really important. Raising these kids is very important. I want to be hands-on. This is something that I want to make a top priority. So our family at home life might come after this top priority of mine, which is to work within the community and take care of these kids. So that could have matched up with somebody. That could have been okay in a relationship or a situation, or it could have even been okay if that was communicated beforehand. But, you know, it's the communication. That's why I think communication is number one.
Yeah, absolutely. That's definitely, it's like, you can't guess what someone else is thinking or feeling.
Yeah.
Because you just, you know, unless your psychic powers are on point, like you are, you know what I'm saying, you super galactic, it's better to really find out and just sit down and have those conversations. Those tough conversations are the ones that people try to avoid.
Yeah, I know.
Because you don't want to get the other person angry or frustrated or upset, you know, or whatever. And so a lot of the times what you think the outcome is going to be is not what it will be. Mm-hmm. It ends up being, in a lot of the cases, a positive outcome because there's some type of understanding now versus this guesswork and, you know, let me test my psychic powers. And then about a few years later, the whole relationship comes to an end.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, even we've experienced that in our relationship. I thought you were thinking something or you know, saying something a certain way, and it meant a certain something that was completely opposite than what you really meant. Yeah. Same with me. Like, I've said things that you've took wrong too.
Yeah.
And but we were able to say, hey, you know, I kind of misunderstanding this, or I don't understand exactly what you mean here. Mm-hmm. And then it's just about the communication, slow, right, calm, patient communication. Mm-hmm. And we were able to understand each other. So it's good.
Yeah, absolutely. It's really, 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 like, really important. You know, the biggest and hardest thing for couples to do is address the elephant in the room. And a lot of the times, the only way to get to the peace on the other side and the understanding is to address that elephant in the room and not ignore it and act like it ain't there.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Another thing I think is important is to understand and know your partner's red flags and like breaking points, like deal breakers, understanding and knowing their deal breakers, almost even going into it, because you don't want to end up in a situation where you're 2-3 years down the line. And then all of a sudden there's a deal breaker that pops up and you're like, you know, taken back. And now your relationship is super, super shaky after y'all all in love. And it's you built a home together and all this other, it gets very complicated at that point. Yeah. So
there's deal breakers on that side that I wasn't prepared for, and those deal breakers were there. And, you know, like you said, it got real shaky.
Yeah.
So, yeah, interesting. Deal breakers are huge.
No, they are. Yeah. That's why they should be talked about up front, guys. Mm-hmm. Up front. And you know what? A lot of people just don't do this because everybody wants to put on a mask when they meet their person or a person when they're going on a date. Wow, I need to show up looking the prettiest I can, talking the smartest that I am. You know, just trying to be this perfect person when you meet for the first time. And that is a good thing because first impressions are everything. Yeah. But at the same time, it's like, okay, now when this mask falls off and you're a year down the line and then you realize, oh, wait, you're not actually, you don't have any brains, actually. You're actually kind of dumb. Like, I mean,
inequalities. There's so many things that come up.
Yes.
Yeah. And you can waste a lot of time. It's best to have open conversations. Once you get past the first few dates and it seems like this is going to be a commitment, or either somebody asks to make a commitment, that's when it's time to like, hey, we got to go down this checklist because we got to make sure that we're not wasting time here.
Right.
If it's
right.
just a dating thing and you're just dating random people, then it don't even matter. But if you're talking about like really, really creating a relationship, a committed relationship, then you got to go down this list.
Yeah. Yeah, I do. I do definitely think that. Yeah. Definitely think that. And yeah, my advice is to just don't even show up with a mask. I mean, it's good to present yourself in a positive manner, but try to be as authentic as you possibly can from the beginning, because then it's authentic that way. Mm-hmm. The person knows who you are, not your mask. They know who you are. And that's really, I mean, if you want to meet a perfect person for you, then you have to show up as who you are, because why do you want to? It's exhausting walking around being fake all day.
Yeah.
And having this fake mask on all the time. It's extremely exhausting. Yeah. So don't you want a person that can love you for exactly who you are? I mean, show up as who you are. Let's stop these fake masks and these fake perfection people. Like, it's not even real. Let's just be real.
You know, a person can only put up with it for about or keep that facade for about 6 months, and then it begins to fall apart.
Yeah.
And then the real person comes out.
Yeah.
And it's really, really real. Hard to keep going.
Person comes out after like 2 years, and then you're like, oh wow.
it's really hard for them to keep it up.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
So yeah.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. What's up to everyone in the chat? The chat's looking good. Make sure you share this video. Make sure you click the like button. Please click the like button. Let's get the algorithm going. Knowledge and wisdom and ascension knowledge and all of that. It means nothing, nothing if your household is in turmoil. If you don't have peace at home, if you're not thriving in your house, I don't care how many Anunnakis you research. I don't care how many UFOs you research. I don't care how many meditations and chakras and all these things. It means nothing if your home is in turmoil. So this is an important podcast, and we're going to go over a list here to break down some of the things that you should probably do before getting married.
Yeah. You want to start?
Sure.
Okay.
The first one is, you got to discuss your bills. Okay. This is a problem that I've seen even in my own past relationships. You need to discuss bills because you don't know what you're getting ready to inherit. You could be inheriting a lot of debt. Okay. You could be inheriting a lot of debt. And I'm talking bad debt.
Yeah.
Now, it doesn't mean that, you know, you can't love the person and you can't work with them, but at least know going in what the situation is. What is the financial situation of this person that you're looking to lock up, link up and lock up with for a long time? Because their financial stressors are going to become your financial stressors. Mm-hmm. If you're doing pretty good, you know what I'm saying, and you've got some abundance working for you, there's a limit to everyone's abundance in terms of like what their current bills and their current lifestyle is at. And so there's always this overage that they have, and you're managing that really well. That's great. All of a sudden somebody comes in and then boom, here comes another extra 30, 40, 50, 100, 200,000 in debt that you weren't anticipating. Mm. And now that person's stress on how they're struggling to cover all those payments is now falling on your shoulders as well. And they're looking at you like, hey, can you help me out? I mean, come on, that's what's going to happen. The question is going to come. Can you help me? Mm-hmm. And then now you got to make a tough decision. You're like, man, I didn't make these damn bills. Why I got to help you? And so you got to know in the beginning, if somebody coming into a relationship with you has a lot of debt, and that's like a turnoff for you, or that's like, you know, of rules that you don't want to abide by. What do you call it a minute ago? You know, these things, deal breakers. If that's your deal breaker for you, then don't even bother. Okay. So you want to find out the financial status of the person. Now they don't got to be rich. They don't have to have $100 million in the bank. You just want to find somebody that's been responsible and taking care of their bare bones necessities. Now, things happen to everybody. Situations happen. I've been in situations before where I've been, you know, struggling. But again, it's up to you to decide at that moment in time, is that something you feel that you can actually handle? And if it is, go for it. But it's something that needs to be addressed. And also, I think before we go to the next one, a plan. If you decide to take on that person and that responsibility with that person, because you will, trust me, you will be taking some of that responsibility. How are you going to build a plan to get out of that debt? Because the debt cannot persist. Mm. Okay. It can't persist and there'll be peace in the house. One of the biggest stressors on relationships is financial stressors. Mm-hmm. So at some point there needs to be a plan put into place to help work that debt down. And that structure needs to be set up and action needs to go behind it. And goals and benchmarks need to be set to work that debt down to a manageable amount so it can take the stress down to a manageable amount.
Yeah, I remember I saw this clip. I saw this clip of Viola Davis online. Remember, I think you even sent it to me. Yeah. She was like, I was so scared. She's like, oh my God, I was having this conversation with my husband and I was terrified. And so I said, you know, I had to let him know that I have bad credit. Oh, that's hilarious. And he was like, I've known you've had bad credit. What are you talking about? It's so funny. She was like, I got bad credit. Yeah. She was so scared to tell him. But yeah. I mean, that's also very important for your partner, especially before you get married, because now you're not two units, two individuals. You are a unit. So that is absolutely going to affect everything. If your partner has bad credit and you have good credit, your credit score, you know, so I mean, that's also very, very, very important.
Oh, yeah. You're trying to go half and half on everything. In other words, you're trying to not go half and half and put both of your names on a house, for example, on a car or whatever. That bad credit is going to affect the interest rate. The interest rate is going to be higher, which means the payment's going to be higher, which is going to add more financial stress. And for me, I mean, just I can't be with anybody with bad credit. This is my personal thing. That's one of my pet peeves. Like, I just cannot be with anyone that has bad credit. For me, that is a deal breaker. So I want to know the credit score like right away. I want to know what it is. I want to know. That's got to be over 700. If it ain't over 700, I'm not rocking with you. I can't be dealing with nobody with bad credit because it tells me that, they're not responsible. That's the problem. You know, that's the problem. I just can't do it. But again, that's for me. For you, it might be something totally different, but at least you know going in.
Yeah, that's important. It's very important. Very important, guys. just work on your credit. Yeah. Everybody needs to work on their credit. Credit is very important.
That's right.
I messed up my credit so bad when I was 18 years old because they don't teach you in school.
Nope.
Your parents, though, my parents never taught me nothing. And then I had a mentor that was like, oh, screw your credit. You know, you're just going to pay for cash the rest of your life because you're about to be rich. Blah, blah, blah. So I completely ruined my credit at age 18. And it took me a long time to work that back up. A long time. So that's something that I actually would want to, you know, put into a class, an accredited class or something when we open our school, because I find that so, so very important. So
I'm going to have you try to type this in. Can you type in the guy who takes care of all of our clients' credit? That's Jason at Credit.
Credit Co.
It's Credco.
Credco or Creditco.
Type. I mean, let me look it up right quick. I want them to get, people need to work on their credit. This is really important. This guy is phenomenal. Creditcomanagement.com. Not only has he fixed a lot of our clients' credit, he's even gotten them lines of credit, and he helps them teach them how to keep their credit good.
Yeah, he's good.
He even took care of my son, Justin, which the video has been online. So I'm not saying anything personal that he wouldn't talk about himself. He actually made a video about the fact that Jason at Credco management.com. Yeah. Jason took care of him and actually fixed his credit so good. He was able to refinance his car and take off $300 off of his car payment.
Yeah.
Then he went and got himself a brand new apartment because he had to get approved for that. And he also got $30,000 in lines of credit, which he's been investing into his own clothing line business that he started. So this guy's phenomenal. Ask for Jason at creditcomanagement.com.
He's good.
If you need to get your credit looked at, get it fixed, get it tightened up, and even get lines of credit so you can maybe invest in yourself. Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah. He's phenomenal. Yeah. Phenomenal. I've heard a lot of good results from him, not just Justin. So yes, he's definitely good.
Yeah.
Definitely good. Okay. On to the next. Before you get married, you should discuss your parenting styles, especially if you are coming together. And let's say you have a young child, even in my situation. I mean, my son is 10 years old. So obviously, when we got together, now you're taking on a whole 10-year-old.
Yeah.
And you've taken him on since he was like 7. So, I mean, that's a big thing. Yeah. So honestly, we didn't even discuss this, but I paid so much attention when we first got together about how you were with him. And remember, you wanted to make it official, right? Mm-hmm. I don't even remember the exact date, but I was like, no, I need to understand and really know how Gabe is going to feel about everything. And then I'd like you guys to spend a little bit more time together first before I can say yes. Yeah, remember?
Yep, I remember.
Yes. Yeah. And then
we had that conversation.
Yeah. We did have the conversation. Mm-hmm. And then when I saw you together with him and I saw how comfortable that Gabe was and how easygoing you were with him, I'm like, oh. And I walked to you and I was like, hey, we could totally be together.
It took a while, too. It wasn't like overnight.
Yeah.
She really took the time to see how I was around her son, to see if I was the right fit for them, to see if I was right fit for Gabriel himself directly. You know, my coaching style, my coaching technique. She took a look at it. She observed and observed and observed until she came to the conclusion that, yeah, you know what? I think this could work. And that's when she said, yes, you know, we can be in a close relationship. And so, and you got to honor and respect that, because you're talking about a woman that's looking out for the best interest of her child. You see, a lot of women don't do that. They put the relationship ahead of the kid.
Yeah.
And it's like, whatever, you know, they just, you know, the kid's getting beat up, abused, talked to any old kind of way, treated like crap, ignored, you know, and worse.
Yeah.
And worse. So it's really, really important understanding parenting styles. And if you don't have any kids yet, it's really important to understand, well, if you're thinking and planning on having a kid in the future, the other person may not have planned on having any kids. I've seen this before.
Oh, yeah.
All right. And so you have to find out if they even want that. And if they do, or they're like, yeah, I'd love to. Well, what would your parenting style be? And you got to understand, like, my parenting style is very, very different than most people's parenting styles. You've witnessed this.
Yes. Yes, it is. It is.
Very different.
Yeah. You're an anomaly. You actually are an anomaly, because I was going to tell people one good thing to really look out for in a partner, if you're looking to have a child or if you have a child is to know if your partner has worked on their unresolved trauma, period, point blank. Because if they have not, they're going to be triggered easily. Mm-hmm. And the people that get triggered easily, they take things out on the people closest to them, because those people that are closest to them, they don't feel like they'll ever turn their back. Mm-hmm. So it's automatic. It's not conscious. It's very unconscious behavior. Yeah. But that is something to really pay attention to when you're talking to somebody new or planning a family or anything, because if a person is stuffed up with unresolved trauma, they're going to be extremely reactive mm-hmm. and overreactive. So that then comes kid beaters, you know?
That's what happens.
Yes.
Listen, I don't beat children.
No.
I've never beat children. I don't slap children. Mm-hmm. I don't curse them out. I don't scream at them uncontrollably. No. I don't snatch them. I don't push them. I don't drag them. I just do one simple thing. I talk to them and look them straight in the eye, and they understand my disappointment in situations. They know when I mean business, and they know when I'm ready to play. They can differentiate between the two, and I can give my kids a look and they'll start crying.
I know. It's literal like that. Like, you don't raise your voice at all, but like the tone slightly changes. You use the tone two times. I remember two times with Gabe since you've known him. Yeah. Once in the car with my mom and then once in the kitchen. And I was like, it scared me. I was like, but you didn't. You're the level didn't change, but the tone was like, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And I was like, oh, I felt like I was in trouble. I'm like, oh, snap. Should I go sit in the corner? Like, ooh, that made me feel all weird inside. Oh, man. But it is, I mean, your energy is the energy that you have. It speaks volumes. It speaks volumes. You don't ever have to raise your hand at your kids. You literally will make them cry off a look. Like, I've seen it. I've seen it.
And even my adult kids. Still, yeah. She's seen that, too.
Yes.
Adults, they're all adults. The adults, I mean, they're over the age of 20, some are 30s. So it's all about understanding how to push the energy out, the eye contact, letting them know your level of disappointment.
Yeah.
That's the biggest thing. You know, a lot of people say, well, you know, you spare the rod, you spoil the child, and you beat me. I was beat when I was a kid, and it made me better. The numbers don't lie. The statistics don't lie. The number of kids that get beaten, whipped when they were young that turn out to be okay. Even though this is an illusion of being okay, they're not really okay. They don't realize the trauma that's in them, but they turn out to be what we call contributors to society is a very small number. The vast number of kids that are beaten, yelled at, cursed out, snatched, beat with switches and extension cords and everything else, they turn out to have PTSD, depression, drug addicts, become abusers themselves in prison. Those numbers are huge compared to the small numbers of people that get through the eye of the needle. So beating kids, yelling at them, cursing them out. I was living in the hood. I was looking at the neighbors, talking to their kids. You F, mama, MF-er, I'm going to beat your ass when you get in the house and blah, 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 blah. Well, you know, that kid's in prison. The other one across the street that was getting talked to like that, he's dead. You know, and so I knew from early on, I wasn't going to do that.
I mean, well, your style works, and I wish that people, like, why I said you're an anomaly is because you've gone through all the stuff that you've gone through, and you're not reactive. Like, it never comes out on kids, and that is very surprising for me because, I mean, usually it all comes out on the kids. All the stress, all the day's work, and just load of the world, it always comes on the kids. So for you, I mean, it doesn't. So
it's a fortunate thing.
Yeah.
One thing to add to that, if you are a single mom and you've now in a relationship or you've married now with somebody and you guys have a baby and the child acts up while the father's away, or if you were the father and you got the kid and the mother's away, do not tell that kid that when the other parent gets home, they're going to beat you or they're going to take care of you. You handle the situation on the spot. And you take care of it and you find a type of a discipline that's appropriate, but not beating. And whether it's taking things away, whether it's, put in bed or no going outside or taking away the iPad, whatever it is. But to put it on the other parent who's now gone with the stress of days of work and life and all the other stuff that's going on that you don't even know that person went through that day. Now they got to come home and get bad news, and then they got to go muster up the energy to beat this kid or go after this kid all the frustration for the entire day is going to come out on that kid. And that turns out to be a really bad situation. Do not do that.
I mean, you should never, you should always address things as they come up. Always address them. You don't push it on to the other parent and tell them to do your dirty work. It's like, just address the issue as it comes up. And just communicate. That's all you really need to do. What I've learned, because, you know, for the first couple years that my son was alive, I was not so conscious. I was reactive. I yelled a lot more. It was not the greatest situation for our household. And I can admit that, because now it's completely different. And it has been for a very long time. And what I've learned is that the communication between my son and I is phenomenal. It's phenomenal. Yeah, to the point he tells me everything. And it's a little, you know, I would rather have him tell me everything though than not. And I told him honesty is everything. Honesty is the most important thing, because I would rather have him call me if he's high and drunk at a party and can't drive than try to drive home or something like that. It may happen. So, I mean, communication is everything, and you can always bring it back. If you've been a kind of harsh parent, or if you've made your mistakes, maybe you've accidentally, you just cussed at your kid or went off and went crazy. I mean, that is okay, because kids are very resilient. Number one, your parents are the number one people in the kid's life. Mm-hmm. Number two, and the fact that they're very forgiving. Kids are very forgiving. I mean, every time that I know that I'm wrong, I will go and have a conversation with my son after the whole situation has cooled down. And I always admit that I'm wrong. I'm human. I'm sorry that I raised my voice at you. That was not right. No one should ever raise their voice at you, because it's not necessary. What's the point? So, I mean, it's just, it's all about communication. And understanding that kids are not just these things that we own. They're their own beings. They're their own intelligent, conscious beings. So treat them as such. You don't treat kids different just because they're a kid. I mean, kids are some of the most advanced before they get stuffed up with all this conditioning, these negative conditioning. Sometimes they're smarter than us. So let's treat them as such, and they'll respect you.
That's right.
Sure.
Next one, happiness and beliefs. This is really important stuff. First of all, the most important thing is you can't look for happiness in someone else. No. If you're looking for someone to help make you happy, then you're not going to find what you're looking for. You need to become happy for yourself, inside of yourself first. I remember, after a really bad breakup that I had in a relationship, I took some time off. I took a year off. I took some time to myself. I would take myself on dates. There's still videos of me. I posted on Facebook. Real thing about social media, it saves everything. Videos of me on social media saying I took myself on a date. Doing a selfie, right? Taking myself on walks, taking myself in nature, taking myself to the beach, hanging out with myself, taking myself to dinners. I remember I spent a Thanksgiving and a Christmas by myself at a hotel lobby, eating in a hotel restaurant, and I was happier than a pig in slop. Why? Because I make me happy. And when you come to the point where you make you happy and you're happy with yourself, then there's room for somebody else to build on that with you. But you cannot look for happiness in someone else. If that's the only purpose that you're looking for someone or looking to be in a relationship, you're probably not going to have a result that you're exactly looking for.
Well, it's called codependency, basically. When you're codependent and you feel like you need to be with somebody to be happy, and you need that person to basically need you because that fills you up inside. So, I mean, that's very toxic. That's an extremely toxic situation to be in. Mm-hmm. Usually codependent people get matched up with narcissists because of the balance, you know, it kind of equals each other. So, I mean, that's a very, very toxic situation. Mm-hmm. So, yes.
That's a fact.
Yeah.
Because I became codependent in previous relationship and I was with a narcissist. Mm-hmm. When a giver gets with a taker, they get into a relationship. Mm-hmm. Never forget that. When a giver gets with a taker, they get into a relationship. If you're a giver, make sure you find a giver.
Yeah.
Okay. Because that narcissistic mindset will absorb until they suck the soul out of your body. Literally.
They will take everything. Not your money, your objects, your emotions, everything.
And that still won't be enough. They want more after that too. Yeah.
All of it. Yeah. Mm, yeah.
Crazy.
It is
crazy. Beliefs.
Woo. Yes.
Beliefs are strong. Belief, this whole planet is based on belief systems, the way that the ideologies and the programming code for eons and the epigenetic memories in your stored in your DNA for 15 to 20 generations is all based off of belief systems. So belief systems are a huge, 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 huge thing. People will kill you over their beliefs. More people have died on this planet over religious beliefs than any other reason for any other war or whatever else on the planet. Number one is religion. So belief system, what does a person believe? What type of religion? What type of spirituality? What type of maybe non-spirituality? Maybe they're atheists. Maybe they're whatever. But if your belief systems don't match up or go together, or can you tolerate somebody else's belief system? Because I know some people that are in two different religions that are still married. So it's up to you to decide what can you tolerate, but you need to talk about those belief systems ahead of time.
Yeah.
It could be a real problem.
Yeah, it could be. Weren't you in a thing where someone started praying over Jesus or over dinner and praying to Jesus or something? And oh, you were man. Like, oh shit.
Yeah, so I was like, oh, okay. I wasn't ready for this, you know?
And, did you not discuss your religious beliefs prior?
This is, you know, this list is all from learning over the years, the mistakes that I made in the past, right? Mm-hmm. So I didn't know I was, you know, in a relationship with a person and a family of that person that was religious zealots. And you know, the food that we had, to be quite honest with you, it wasn't even healthy food. I mean, you know, it was food that if you eat too much of that food every day, you're going to get high blood pressure, diabetes. So praying over it did absolutely nothing. Mm-hmm. I never understand why people praying over, collard greens and you know, biscuits and gravy. I mean, it's not going to do anything for you, but kill you. If you keep eating it with all the salt and everything that's in it, it's the damn seasonings that kill Black people. Mm-hmm. But anyway, that's a whole nother podcast. But praying over this stuff. And so, you know, I came to a realization, wow, I wasn't really ready for this. I didn't realize how deep they were into this. And it just got worse and worse from there. And because I wasn't participating, I was ostracized from the family. And so, again, this is a long time ago, but you have to understand, like, you need to be prepared to understand what this other person's beliefs are and also their, you know, their relatives' belief systems. They're usually tied together in some way, shape, or form because it's all programming code. And can you live with that? Can you be a part of that? If you are willing to be a part of it, then, hey, great. Go for it. If you think you can do your own separate thing and still deal with that, great. I found for me, after experimenting with that a couple times, it just doesn't work for me.
Yeah, I don't think I could. Well, I don't know, really, because I've never experienced that. But I don't think I couldn't be with a zealot, you know, trying tough. To force their belief system on mine. But yeah. I mean. You know, we can believe different things.
Yeah.
I think that our beliefs are pretty much the same, though. I think
we're pretty much on the same frequency.
Yeah.
Yeah. That helps a lot.
Mm-hmm. Makes things easier.
Yeah.
Makes conversations that much better. Yeah. You're not combating each other all the time.
I know. Having a battle.
Yeah.
Battle of wills. No, mine's is better. No, mine's is better. Mine, you know, who trying needs to be going through that every single day? How about people that are married that are two different political parties and they're battling and fighting
my parents
all the time?
My parents, my mom's a Democrat and my dad was a Republican.
Oh, goodness. Whew.
But they got along.
They loved each other.
They got along.
Yeah. I know one couple that's like that, that's they're together, but they're always fighting and the family is like a family feud nonstop. And so how do you guys do this?
It was never. Do you know what? They respectfully would talk about their beliefs of what was happening. Yeah. But there was never any fights about it. Yeah. Like they were never.
Your mom's a special person.
Yeah, yeah.
Because
yeah, she is.
You got blessed when you got adopted by that lady because that lady has a temper that's like this.
Yeah.
It just is steady going. She never goes boom, 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 boom. She's just like,
Oh, it's so funny because if she'll text me and she uses the word damn or ass, I'm like, oh, she's furious. She's mad. she's ferocious right now. That's she's bad. Like,
she spends her time laughing and just, you know.
She never gets mad. She never yelled at me. She never not once raised her voice at me, raised her fist at me. Well, she raised her hand at me once to slap me, but she didn't end up doing it. But yeah. I mean, literally, she was so soft spoken and never really. You know, my dad, though, was the opposite of that. So I got the best both worlds. Yes. Okay. This next one is really, really important. Childhood traumas. I think that is extremely, extremely important to know and understand just because I can read people through, I don't know, kind of intuition and feeling. I can feel a person's trauma And I can feel if they're trying to run from it, and I can feel what kind of trauma they've been through. But I know and understand that so well that I know how it affects relationships. I know how it affects reactions. I know how it affects parenting, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I know how all of this is going to make you into the person who you are today. And it's very important for people to know ahead of time, okay, maybe this child was sexually abused or something, right? So they might have a thing with sex. That is really important to discuss with your partner before you get married, because you could be triggering your partner and not even know it. And that would build what? Resentment. I mean, this is all just communication. If you can communicate your issues, your traumas, I mean, it's a matter of knowing each other. And before you get married, don't you really want to know that person through and through? I think it's important.
It's really important. What men need to know before you get with a woman, you need to find out if that woman has had sexual trauma. And the reason why it's so important is because what's the stat on how many women have had sexual trauma?
One out of two. Yeah.
That's 50%. Mm-hmm. 50% of women that had sexual trauma. That's a real stat that you can mm-hmm. look up. And so that means that more than likely the woman that you're with probably had sexual trauma at one time in the past. And there are certain things that you could do, say, or even maybe actions you might be taking during intercourse or before intercourse that could trigger that trauma. And you're getting like, why is she like this? Or what's going on here? I don't understand. You may need to understand what's going on in her mind. You might have to dig it out of her, but you got to find out, did she have sexual trauma in the past? Because most women have.
And some men, I think it's it's 1 out of 4 or something. True. I don't remember the exact stats, so don't quote me, but I know that a lot of men have been through it as well. So I think that is extremely important to discuss with your partner. You want to be open and honest in relationships. So, I mean, to keep the resentment low, to understand your partner and what your partner likes and dislikes, extremely important.
Very important. Mm. That's right.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Let's get this back.
Oh, yeah.
And all right. Next one. Past life. Okay. It's important.
Like, what do you mean, like, past life? Are we talking about
reincarnation?
Like, yeah.
Are we talking about you when your atoms were in this format?
We be talking
in your previous design.
So in a past life regression I saw my feet and they were man's feet. I mean, is that what we're talking about?
No.
What are we talking about?
We're talking about that's funny.
Confused.
No, we're talking about what happened before this relationship in this current life, but before this. So what's happened, what has happened? Things that you've lived through. We all say, you've heard me say, I've lived like 10 lifetimes already, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. In this lifetime. In other words, I've been through so many chapters of my life, and these chapters, like a lifetime, I look back and I'd be like, damn, I was doing this and I was doing this. Mm-hmm. I remember that. But, talking just about getting to know a person really well to know, you don't got to know every single tiny I dotted and T crossed, because some people, you got to save a little bit of something every now and then to spread out over the years. But at the same time, you really want to get to know a person, and eventually they'll open up to you and begin to tell you things that they've done in the past and what has happened, trials and tribulations that they've gone through, how they saw those, how they came up out of that, whatever the case may be, situations that they've been in, whatever it is. It's just good to know, because it helps you build a basis, a fundamental basis of understanding what has built this person's character, mm-hmm. their mindset, and their perspective on life. So it's good to have those kinds of conversations. I even took you to my own neighborhoods, right? Mm-hmm. This is early on in the relationship. I said, this is where I'm from. Let me take you down here. I took you to 3 places that I lived at growing up as a child, because I wanted you to see where I came from. So you can have, I took you directly to the exact places that I lived, the exact, either one was a house and the other two were units, but I took you there so you can see like, hey, this is where I started. Like, you can understand my mindset and my perspective a little bit better on things now, because like, okay, well, I see him. This gives me a good idea of what he's talking about. And so it's just kind of good to really understand that, I think, about a person.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's important because, yeah. I mean, you've lived a million different lives. I've lived a million different lives, and it's made you who you are, made me who I am. So I think it's really, really important to discuss what happened prior. I mean, that's kind of, yeah. is one of the most important things, I think. Yeah. I mean, just it resilience. Mm-hmm. Is your person resilient? Are they victim mentality? Do they give up quickly? I mean, that's everything.
Right. Exactly. Everything. Are they suffering from PTSD or PTG, post-traumatic growth?
Right.
You want to know what they're capable of, what their mindset is, how mentally strong they are, you know? Mm-hmm. And so it just gives you a catalog of information and data that you can pull on when you're trying to figure out what this person really is all about long-term. Like, you kind of project into the future to see where can this relationship go?
Yes. Very, very important. Okay. Expectations. That is so very important. So very important to discuss, because when you have expectations in anything, you tend to disappoint yourself. I don't really believe in, I mean, you should have expectations about certain things. Absolutely. But you sometimes set yourself up for failure when you expect all of these things to always happen, you know, just kind of be in flow. That's what I think. But what's your take?
Yeah, expectations are huge. I mean, you know, obviously when you're getting into a relationship and you want a long-term relationship, you want to get married. Now you're thinking really long-term. And there are expectations that go into this thought process. And we have to understand that on both sides, on the male side, the female side, or if it's male and male, female and female, whatever you're getting married these days, either way, it doesn't matter. The point is, there's going to be some give and take on both sides. Mm-hmm. There's no way to get around it. There's going to be some sacrifices here and some sacrifices over here. But you got to be sure and understand that those sacrifices that are being made on both sides don't rob the person of their own identity, rob them of who they really are at the core.
Yeah.
You can't steal somebody's identity and try to wrap them so much into you that they lose who they are. You have to give them a little bit of space as well and give them a little room to be who they are, even though there will be some give and take. And the expectations, you know, for me, it's like, you know, these are some of the things I like to do and some of the things I want to continue to be able to do. And it's like, this is, you know, I'm being upfront. Like, I really, if I get away from this, I won't be me anymore. You know what I'm saying? And so that's just one small example of expectations. There's probably many others. But for me, my thing is a specific thing and a few things that I like to do to be me that keeps me sane and keeps me whole and keeps me functioning. And so we were pretty upfront about that. Just expectations need to be known upfront so that the person that you're with can understand, okay, well, listen, they told me about this in the beginning. And so I got to be sure to allow them the space to be this or do that, or that we agree to do this together, build together. Your expectations could be to build a business together. Your expectations could be to build a bright future for retirement together all for your jobs. There's many ways to have expectations, but they should be talked about up front.
Yeah, yeah. I guess you're right. You are right, because, yeah, that is important. I mean, we both know you love your walks. Mm-hmm. I love my little morning routines here and there, my brain training and stuff. So that was an expectation that you had to keep up your walks, because that's what makes you feel happy. That's what mm-hmm. keeps you together.
Yeah.
My morning routines with the brain training and my red light therapy and grounding, that's what keeps me together. So we have to keep on our paths of who we were before we came together to stay the same person as we are now.
Yeah.
Very important. Very important. Continue the work. Don't get codependent.
Yeah. Yes. Goals and manifestation.
Yeah.
That's big topic.
That's big.
Big topic. Goals and manifestation. I can't tell you over the years how many people have come to me that, you know, friends of mine over the years that have told me that they're really upset with their relationship. And the reason why is because the person that they're with that has no goals, no dreams, no hopes at all. Mm. They just want to wake up in the morning and punch the clock and go back to bed at night. They have no hopes and dreams and goals of doing anything whatsoever. And I was like, man, you didn't know that in the beginning? Like, you didn't see that coming? And so it's huge. You know what I'm saying? Like, goals. When you get together, you both are here, you know, and you're coming together. Mm. Is there a goal to go up? You know, like we always say, we're moving up. We never move lateral, right? We're always moving up, not lateral. Everything we do has got to be an upward motion. And so that's our system. That's our goal setting that we have. We're always planning for the future. We're planning years ahead of time. We don't plan for next week. We plan for years. Mm-hmm. We're not planning for tomorrow. We're planning for years in advance. And so for us, it's really important. Goal setting is a huge part of what we do. Mm-hmm. We must have these goals. The goals must be set. The goals must be high. The goals must be scary at times. I remember you said something to me today. How are we going to do this? I said, I don't know, but we're going to do it. We just laughed, right? And we kept on going. But that's how we live. That's our mindset. And so, you know, and our, the, you know, your goal should be something that you both agree on, and you set a plan of action to attack those goals. And then you actually put action in those steps, and you set benchmarks for certain time frames to achieve certain benchmarks by a certain time. And you keep looking at those. They got to be in your calendar. They got to be where you can see them at all times, right? And so now you're going and you're growing towards and taking steps towards growing to achieve these goals and accomplishments. The next part is manifestation, you know?
Well, I mean, it comes hand in hand with goals. If you don't have goals, you don't have manifestation.
Exactly. Before the goals are set, you got to see it in your mind. You got to be able to say, I see this. Do you see this with me? We're living this. We're living whatever it is. Whatever it is that we want, whatever it is that you're particular for you, from your perspective, from your wishes, hopes, and dreams, whatever it is, don't hope for it. You live it. You make it real in your mind first. And you guys both manifest it in the mind, because everything starts in the mind. And then from there, you roll out a plan to achieve it. So it's really a really big thing. Goals and manifestation. I think a lot of people suffer in life because they feel like they're caught in the rat trap of going to work and coming home and going to sleep, but they can control their own destiny. They don't have to do that.
Yeah, no, no, you can control anything that you want to do. I remember, well, it's unique because I started working with you before we really got together. Well, actually, we kind of started the same time. We started working and doing our thing at the same time. But I mean, one of the first times that we ever sat down and really talked, I sat and I literally remember where we were too. We were at the Ritz and I'm sitting across the table from you and I'm like, okay, what is your goal? What are your goals for this next year? 12 months, give me 12 months. What are your goals?
That's it.
And we went down a line. You went through every single one, boom, 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 boom. And then we broke down your goals into smaller pieces. Okay, what do you want to see under this goal? Boom, 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 wrote it down. And you know what's interesting about that is that we always knew that that was written down and there, but we didn't really refer back to it very often, right? We were just attacking the plan, right? We had set out a plan and we attacked the plan. A year later, we look at that sheet and I'm like, wow, this happened, this happened, this happened, this happened, this happened, this happened, this happened. We exceeded this goal. Today I was reviewing a deck that we did 2 years ago and I was looking at this deck and I'm like, wow, we exceeded this goal. We exceeded this goal. This goal is the same. I'm like, we literally did all of this. And it was so amazing to see that. So when you can even write it down together, write it down and just plan it and manifest it in your mind and then put the action behind your goals, you will really, you'll get there. Yeah. You will literally get there. And something that we just started doing, which we need to get back to, I haven't done it in like a week, but I asked him because I was listening to this book and it was saying basically to change your paradigm, you have to write it down and then basically just pin in your subconscious, just like really bang it in there, right? Every single morning, every single night, this is the first thing that you should wake up to, the last thing that you go to sleep with. So I went to, I'm like, okay, write down your five goals, five affirmations, write down five things that you want to happen. You did it. I did it on the same piece of paper. And every single morning and every single evening, what do we do?
Read the five affirmations. And there are things that were out loud that we're trying to manifest. We sit side by side looking at each other, reading these manifestations. I read mine and then she reads hers. And it's part of the manifestation process.
Because you're making it stick in your subconscious. And once it sticks in your subconscious, that becomes your reality because your subconscious thoughts control you pretty much. If you can get things into your subconscious and reprogram your subconscious, your manifestations will be magical.
That's right. That is absolutely correct.
Yes. All right. Next one is health history.
That's important.
That is very important. Yeah. That is very important.
Because you have to make a decision whether you're okay with being with someone that has specific types of health risks. And that doesn't mean that if anybody's sick or ill, you don't want to be with them because that's dumb. But what it means is at least you can make a decision. Let them give you a choice whether they want to be with you based on those conditions or not. Don't hide those conditions. Be upfront. Say, this is what's going on. This is what I know about. This is what's happened. And let that person, give that person an opportunity to have a choice. Don't rob them of their choice. That's not right. Don't rob them of their choice. Some people may look to see, well, maybe this person could end up being in a situation where I become a caregiver in the next 10 years. And I really don't want to become a caregiver right now. I can't see that in my future. So I'm going to have to bow out of this thing, you know, or maybe they're like, this is a great challenge for me. I look forward to helping taking care of this person and helping them become their best self. You know, this doesn't scare me at all. Or maybe you're the person that has all the amazing naturopathic cures and heal. You're a healer and you can help this person. So, you know what I'm saying? So there's a varying array of things to look at with that. But again, it's important, right?
Yeah, you have to communicate that. Like you said, don't take that person's choice away by hiding something in your closet about your health. You got to be honest, especially if you're planning on spending the rest of your life with this person. That is absolutely incredibly important. Incredibly important. Yeah. You never know. You can meet a person like me and I could teach you how to do all type of stuff, good stuff for your health and stuff.
So. Yeah, you're amazing. Your health. Listen, you know how I know when she's kind of frustrated with me for something? She don't give me my health supplements. I come down, I'd be like, where's my supplements at? I got to get them out myself. I know she frustrates. I got to go check on her because it's something going on. She something I did or something. You go talk to her. You ain't giving myself. I know when I don't get my health supplements, I know there's a problem. So funny. I be looking for my magnesium ain't out. Where's my calcium supplements? Because she takes them out every morning. She lays all my supplements out for me. And I'm like, okay, ain't out. Uh-oh. It looks like she took hers already. Damn. Mine's ain't out. I screwed it. Some kind of way I done did something. I don't know what I did, but I got to go find out what the hell going on. Her supplements for mine.
And it's so funny because sometimes I really at night I just be forgetting sometimes to give him his magnesium and he'll look at me and he'll be like, you mad at me? I'm like, why? She didn't give me my magnesium tonight. And I'm like, oh shit.
Where's these supplements at? I'm in trouble. When I see the supplements, I know it's gonna be a good day. When I don't see the supplements, I'd be like, I gotta figure out what happened. Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. We did the beliefs. We can go to likes and dislikes.
Yeah, likes and dislikes. It's important because you know what? I mean, so there's compromises, right? And there are things like for instance, you love animals, you love every living thing, but you just don't like them in your house, right? This is not for you. You don't want to touch them. You don't want them licking you. No. You don't want nothing to do with really them in general. And so, I mean, you love animals, but you dislike having them. Me, I'm obsessed. I'm obsessed with animals. I love having them. If I could have like all of them, I would. I'm obsessed. I will hold a panda before I die. Yes. So that's important to me. So you actually did like, I mean, you compromise to make me happy. I'm happy. We totally have a dog and I'm so obsessed with her and I love it. And that's one of the things that I like, I love animals so much. And I remember we had a conversation and I told you, I'm like, it's scary to me because I don't know if I can see myself for the rest of my life not having an animal. And you were like, okay, we'll get a dog. I was like, yeah. So it's important to discuss these things. Oof. Because I'm not sure if I could live the rest of my life not having an animal.
If you would have never told me that, I would have never known.
Yeah. Yeah.
Communication.
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 Yes.
She could have just been like, well, he said he don't like animals in the house. He's never had an animal. His family never had pets. Nobody in his entire family has ever had any kind of pets whatsoever. And that's a fact. So there's no chance of me, you know, getting this dog. And she could have kept her mouth shut and suffered. But what they say, closed mouths don't get fed.
Yep.
She opened up to me. She was very sincere. And it was tough. I ain't gonna lie. I didn't say yes immediately. It actually took me a few days. But, you know, but I made that compromise. Yeah.
And she's great. We have a dog named Ewok, and she looks like an Ewok from Star Wars, and she's adorable. And she's great.
She's actually pretty smart, which is good. And the dog is already potty trained. Thank goodness. So that takes a lot of pressure. Yeah. And it's a little tiny, but it ain't nobody these big old animals. Can't deal with that kind of stuff. Yeah. Just a little tiny dog that just doesn't make any noise.
Yeah. Yeah. She's good. She's good.
Hyperallergenic because I'm allergic to dogs. Well,
exactly. Mm-hmm. So likes, dislikes, very, very important. Yeah. Very important. Yes.
Fears.
That's extremely important too. Yeah. Extremely important.
Yeah. People are, there's things that people are afraid of that you may not even think or conceive that they should even be afraid of that, of those things. Cause based on your perspective and your mindset, it's not even a fear. Mm-hmm. It's not even a consideration to be a fear or a concern, but for them, it could be horrifying. Right. So talking about those things and again, communication, understanding what those, that person's fear trigger is, then you can, you'll know better how to treat situations in the future going forward. You'll know what decisions to make, what not to make, what to say, what not to say, where to go, where not to go. There's a lot of things that you can get out of finding out what somebody's fears are. Now we know that fear ultimately is a choice when you're talking about the metaphysical part of it, and that, you know, that fear is false evidence appearing real. But at the same time, there are things that trigger people, all of us, that we are like, you know, like, you know, just don't like. Like if I go outside right now and grab a whole bunch of crickets and bring them in here and throw them on Elizabeth, she's going to scream and jump all over this room. At that point, there is a choice. She could just sit there and take it, but she's not going to do that. She's going to scream and jump around. So we got to be real at the same time that we're making these metaphysical statements.
Yeah.
And so there's things that you want to talk about with people, you know, your better half, about what is triggering them from the fear standpoint.
Yeah, because then you can lend them comfort when they, when that fear comes up. Like you've been struck by lightning a couple of times. Yes. So lightning really terrifies you. I could be supportive when there's lightning out and understand, oh, he's doing this because he'll be like, you know, inside the house, like, and then get real scared and like stare out the window, like, and so I'll just be, no, it's all right. You know, we're good. We're inside. We're good. You know,
that lightning thing is real. It's real.
Yeah.
I had my hand on a car in 1992. I had my hand on a car stuck in a rain in a really bad storm in Miami off of Ivesbury Road. And lightning struck the car, which went through my hand and threw me back about 20 feet. And I just laid on the ground tingling for about 20 minutes, not able to get up. And that was the first trauma. Then years later, a lightning strike at this place I was at. It came. I was washing dishes in my apartment and it came through the water. It came through the sink. It struck the water, electrified and shocked my hands. So now I'm like, it can come get me anywhere. And then we were where? What happened? Tell them what happened.
So crazy. It's so crazy.
Tell them what happened.
Yeah, it was wild.
They ain't going to believe me.
So I was flying back from Detroit. Y'all picked me up. It's from the airport. And it's this crazy storm in Florida. I'm talking one of the worst that I've seen. I'm like, wow, this is wild. It was really terrifying.
It's like a hurricane.
It was like a hurricane almost, for real. So you had a haircut. So we went to your haircut. We pull in the parking lot and there's this tree right next to the door. And you were like, you know, we went and parked right next to the, right under the tree, basically. And you told the driver, you were like, we need to move because I'm gonna get struck. I can't run out of this car right now. I'm gonna get struck by lightning. And you were really scared about it. Yeah. And so, you know, I'm like, yeah, it's gonna be all right. In my head, I'm like, man, he's paranoid. He ain't about to get struck by no lightning. Like this dude, I always, I'm scared about some damn lightning. And then as soon as I had that thought in my head, like he's always so scared of this lightning, all of a sudden, and what happens? The freaking tree gets struck by lightning and the branch falls on the top of the car, misses the window by this much, which we would have been so messed up if the window, because it would have cracked.
Branch.
It was huge. It dented the top of the car. And yeah, I was like, okay, maybe he's right.
I'm telling you, that lightning is no joke.
Yeah.
It's real. One thing about lightning, it strikes from the ground up. People think lightning comes from the sky. It doesn't come from the sky. There's a leader strike that meets the strike in the sky. Yeah. And if you get struck, it comes from you. If it's a car, if it comes from the car, if it's a house, it comes from the house. Anywhere it comes from, it leads up.
Yes.
And then it comes down. You can watch the YouTubes, all over the YouTube videos about leader strikes in super slow motion. You can see that the strike leaves a tree and goes up to meet the static charge in the sky. And that creates the thunder boom that you hear. There's this two strikes connecting to each other.
Yeah.
So now I have learned to harness the power of lightning with my hammer. Now I harness the power because I am Thor. Okay. I never leave home without it.
All right. The last, well, there's two more.
Yeah.
One last one is financial expectations. Mm-hmm. We kind of touched on that earlier a little bit, didn't we?
We really touched on that kind of, yeah. But just briefly, just understanding that.
You know what? No, we really didn't because there is
a financial expectation.
Yes, yes, exactly.
Because you have to understand, like, okay, for example, every time you go out to dinner with this person, who's expecting to pay? Right. Is it going to be two bills split in half? Is it going to be one person's paying for the whole bill? Am I going to cash app you some money later because you bought the meal? That sounds like it's petty. But that is a big deal for a lot of people.
No, it's a big, well, you have to understand a person's priorities, right? If their priority is money, right? If it's like, I want to be rich. I want to have this car. I want to have this house. I want to have these bags. I want to have these shoes, blah, 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 blah. And their top priority is money. Then that's important to know going into a relationship.
Right.
Very important because then that person's, you know, expectations is going to be all of that, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's important to know what type of person you're going into a relationship with and their financial expectations. Mm-hmm. Are they expecting you to buy them a bag every day to pay for all the meals and pay their bills and blah, blah, blah? Or are they willing to work with you? Or do they even care at all about money? Yeah. I mean, it's just communication, knowing that up front.
It's just good to know because that's going to, you're going to know if you're willing to accept these financial conditions or not. Also, even in living conditions, is that person going to pay any of the bills or are you going to be now required to cover all the bills that you are covering and they're not contributing anything, but now using more resources? So it's a lot of questions going on, right? If a new car is bought, who's making the car payment? Is that person going to chip in and help? Or it's just a lot to consider, but it all starts with what? Communication. You have to talk about it. All right.
Absolutely.
The last one, couples counseling. Very, 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 very important.
Yes.
Very important.
Absolutely.
Okay? Yes.
Absolutely. It's really important, even if you're not having issues. I think that it's really, really important in general for everybody to be in some sort of therapy. Everybody has gone through things and it's good to just have that reflection to be able to vent some of that stuff out, vent your stressors out, and then have that stuff kind of mirrored back to you so you can see yourself, because it's very extremely hard for us to see ourselves.
Right.
So yes, it's really, really extremely important to do some sort of counseling, therapy. I mean, I've been in therapy literally since I was like 13 years old. And I've gone years where I felt like I didn't need it. And I've gone years going every single week. But it's just a matter of, yes, I feel it. And yes, you know, it's a good time for me to be in therapy. When we got together, I had suggested we should probably do some sort of couples counseling.
Yeah.
Especially prior to getting married. I think it's extremely important, even if you don't have issues in your relationship. If you are having a perfect relationship, it's still important to go to some sort of couples counseling, because during those sessions, some stuff may come out that you wouldn't normally or naturally talk about.
That's right.
It's really, really important.
Couple counseling is huge, and I highly, highly, highly recommend it before you get married. If you are married, I recommend starting couples counseling, going to an actual counselor. You know, we found a good one and we've been going now for about 4.5 months or so. And it is really an incredible experience because sometimes it's not easy. Sometimes it's hard. And sometimes it's hard to break away from work and everything else just to go all the way across town to do this. But at the end of the day, it's a huge benefit, and it's a benefit that's long lasting. It gave me more insight into her consciousness, her mind, the way she thinks, the way she feels and understands the world. and I think vice versa. And we've been able to get better, a better grasp on who we really are individually and also together. And that's a huge, huge step in part in that to take part in if you're looking to create a long-term relationship and marriage. And so that's why that's the last and most important thing, I think, on the list is couples counseling. Without that, I think that a lot of marriages are probably doomed to fail. I think counseling really does bring a great, healthy benefit to a relationship.
Yeah, I completely agree. It's absolutely helped our communication because sometimes, I mean, honestly, our communication styles are not the same whatsoever. Mm-hmm. And that's okay because not really any two people's communication is the same because everybody has had different life experiences. So just having that third party to kind of be a, you know, an innocent person within the relationship, not knowing anything about that person or that person, but giving you a virgin perspective on the whole situation will help the people understand. Like it's helped us understand each other way better because that person is able to communicate to us. Okay, well, she's feeling like this because of this and communicate it in a way that you can understand.
Right.
And then communicate it to me in a way that I can understand about him. So it's absolutely beneficial. It's necessary, to be honest.
Sir, yes, very necessary. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and I see a lot of people commenting tonight about these Peru. Something happened in Peru. Oh. I'll be looking into the Peru situation, guys, and I'll be making a video on it. You know me, I have to get my receipts. I got to do due diligence and real research first before I jump and talk about any topic. So I will be doing that and I'll be checking out what's going on in Peru. I've already been aware of it. I just have to take my time and do my own due diligence before I talk about it.
Yeah.
That's why I'm forbidden knowledge.
With the receipts.
I come with the receipts.
Always have the receipt.
That's right. Yeah. But again, don't forget, look, guys, I'm wearing the shirt right now. Blueprint for God Power. Right. Blueprint for God Power Part 2.
Fire.
All right. Do we have the link for that by any chance? That workshop is coming up. If you were in part one, you know it was the largest online metaphysical conscious workshop in history. And we have part two coming up. Part two is going to be mind blowing. The topics that I'll be teaching and Dr. B Sears will be teaching have never been talked about. You can't find this information anywhere. You can't just go. I'm gonna go on YouTube and learn all this in one time. No, it's not gonna happen. Okay, it's not gonna happen. And so it's a very, very unique workshop. It's gonna be 10 incredible hours of teaching. We're probably gonna go overtime like we did last year. We went 11 hours. This year may be 11 or 12 hours as well. But it's gonna be an amazing workshop that you just don't want to miss. It's the blueprint for God power. We're laying out the blueprint for you to access your true God power. And this is part two. Some of the teachings that are in this workshop, I've been keeping to myself for decades, waiting for a time when man is ready to understand and accept this knowledge. And I'll be releasing and revealing some of that information in God Power Part 2. There's a lot of it, so there's too much for it to just be done in one 10-hour session. I'd probably have about 1,000 hours, but the amount that I'm going to release in this particular workshop is going to be mind-blowing, mind-bending knowledge, and you don't want to miss it. So we're going to drop the link in the caption of this video and the comments as well. Make sure you register for Blueprint for God Power Part 2. It's going to be an amazing, amazing workshop.
I saw people asking about your T-shirt. They want your T-shirt. So let me give them...
I'll click on the esoteric T-shirt right there.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah,
got it.
Right there. And you can drop that link right there. There you go. Boom. We have a whole new line of T-shirts. The Forbidden Esoteric Clothing Line.
Fire, guys.
It's fire.
Freaking fire.
So check it out. Elizabeth is dropping the link in the chat right
now.
Look
at this shirt. This is.
Oh, yeah. That's the Egyptian Mystery School. I just had that on a little while ago, actually.
Egyptian Mystery School.
We come in peace.
We come in peace.
We come in peace.
Yes. Fire.
Yeah.
Fire.
Yeah. A lot of great shirts. The Blueprint for God Power is up there as well. And many other incredible shirts, men and women shirts, and also caps. We got the hats. We got the esoteric hats.
This stuff is important because it's all good energy stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's all good energy.
This has Thoth on it.
Yeah.
This t-shirt has Thoth on it.
That's right.
Powerful. Mm-hmm. Powerful. Look at God power.
God power is powerful. I mean,
that's a powerful image.
Yeah. Yeah, you're going to get people asking, man, what does that shirt mean? And then you can drop the knowledge on them.
Yeah, exactly.
You cast out You know what I'm saying? The reel. You cast out the hook, I'm sorry, with the bait. The bait. And then you just reel them in. See? That's how you do it. That's how you spread the knowledge. You don't got to run around preaching to everybody. Just let them come to you. You become a magnet. You attract them. But you have to have the tools to attract. And then you got to have the knowledge to keep them.
Right.
Important.
You know what? That's a great idea, actually. They just asked, someone in the chat asked if we could make a blueprint for God Power a woman, too. Absolutely. I'm going to have that design ASAP.
Do it right away. ASAP. Elizabeth will hop. When Elizabeth says it's going to be done, it's like Thanos snapping his fingers with the crystals on his wrist. It's done. It's done. Guaranteed it's done.
It is done.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Because that's important.
Yeah.
Is feminine as well.
That's right. That's right. It is. It's not just men. It's not just masculine energy because all people come out of a womb.
Yeah. We're the portals to this dimension.
That's right.
Kind of important. Kind of important.
That's right.
So
that's why I said last night in my video, we keep calling God he, him. We keep trying to designate this masculine energy only. God is a frequency. You got to tune in. And don't forget, all of us came out of a womb.
Yeah.
And so, from a macro and a micro, we're born out of the womb of time.
Absolutely.
So you got to pay respect to the feminine energy.
Yep, exactly.
All right,
guys, I have to make dinner.
Got to make dinner now. We love you guys. Thank you for hanging out with us.
Absolutely.
Registrate. Yeah, somebody said we need moderators in the chat. We know Double Helix. We're gonna find some moderators. We'll get some moderators soon. We got quite a few people that want to volunteer, so we'll probably let somebody come on and help us out with that. But you know, hopefully you weren't too distracted. Hopefully you got some knowledge tonight, something that you can take home with you, something that can help save or even build a great relationship. Yeah, all right.
Absolutely. Thanks,
hey, guys.
We will see you soon.
Peace.
This is Billy Carson with ForbiddenKnowledge.tv. Forbidden Knowledge TV has just reached its 1 year anniversary. That's right, 1 year. And as a show of appreciation, we are giving all new subscribers a free 30-day trial of ForbiddenKnowledge.tv. That's 30 days to binge watch thousands of movies, documentaries, conferences, workshops, lectures, yoga classes, meditation courses, and so much more. So log on to ForbiddenKnowledge.tv from your computer or mobile device, or get the Forbidden Knowledge TV app on Apple TV, Roku, Amazon, iTunes, or Google Play today, and use coupon code 30DAYSFREE. That's coupon code 30 days free on ForbiddenKnowledge.tv today.